The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
This is not the small print of the gospel. This is not some hidden message in Scripture. Jesus made it very clear that a decision to follow was a decision to die, to surrender everything to Him. And so Jesus turns to the crowd, and He turns to you and me, and He asks the one question that will ultimately define our lives. Are you a fan or a follower?
All right, here we are in episode 4, Not a Fan. And some of you guys have been here for a few of the weeks. And so we're talking the fact that we don't want to be fans of Christ, we want to be followers. And we have a little a guide that's actually a daily devotional guide, and all of our community groups are going through it. How many of you guys are going through it, have heard about it in your group, gone to a group, gone through the book or something, at least heard a sermon? So we understand the whole concept that we want to be followers, not fans. So that's what we're transitioning into today. I do want to give one special introduction that is not message-related, but it is church-related. You guys know Andrew Porter on our staff does an unbelievable job with our worship. Well, he and his wife, Annika, just recently had a baby. The baby's actually here for the first time. I know it's supposed to be on the DL, but it's too late now. It was here. He was here. Thank you. But Andrew's family is in visiting, so if you guys could stand up, Andrew's family, I just want to recognize you guys that are here. Let's just give them a hand for being down here from Boston, had to travel here from Massachusetts, so this is just a little welcome bag. We hope you come back to Hope Hill. It's kind of a long commute, but to come from Boston. Go Patriots, right? That's right. Okay. It's hard for me to say that, but okay. Anyway, thanks for being here. This is actually, yes, thank you. This is most, now I love the Redskins, so this would pertain, but this is actually a Florida State jersey. Now, if any of you are college football fans or followed or watched, we were number 3 going into yesterday playing an unranked North Carolina State, and we lost in Raleigh to North Carolina State. So, he's from Raleigh. It's my brother-in-law. I have to claim him. So, just kidding, Andrew and Harmony, they're awesome. Adam and Harmony, and they're good. But he's from Raleigh, and his team won, and I hate him. So, okay. But I'm wearing this today. Again, I am a fan, but I'm not. What I'm trying to give the illustration of, even in the bad times, I'm still a fan of Florida State. Right? I'm not just going to be a fair-weather fan. And again, that's not exactly what follower means, but we will go through tough times in life. We will be out of work, we will go through tragedies, we will go through this, and we want to make sure that the good and the bad, because it's very easy to root for Florida State the last couple weeks when they're killing everyone by 40 points and they're, just running up the score, but I also am still going to root for them and be following them, even as a fan, whatever, I'm not trying to go too weird there, just the whole idea of us in our Christian journey. So, if you have your teaching sheets, you can go get those out. And I normally give this little intro at the beginning of every time I speak because you may notice, I might start stuttering. I went through speech therapy all through elementary school. And so if I don't give you the warning that I stutter, then I tend to do it more. Okay, so now I've kind of let it out there. And it's, oh well, you have to endure with it and deal with it. But hopefully you can see, and even how God has shown me in my life, that, when we're weak, he is strong. And so when he called me to ministry, I thought, right, the guy who doesn't talk right. And God said, yes, because when you're weak, I'm strong and even given more glory. So if I start stuttering, pray for me and also see that, God can work through weaknesses. So there we go. Thank you. One thing that we're going to have at the end time is, and Austin, this will be the last an announcement, and then we'll get right into it. If you just put up the Fall Fest slide, we're doing that the end of this month. We're doing it here. And we've got lots of things that we need done at the end of the service under our City Dwellers table. We actually have these flyers that need to be passed out into the Ashland neighborhood. And we've broken our neighborhood up into 16 different spots. And if you can take about 50 or 100 flyers and get them out, that will help get the neighborhood flyered. We just want to make sure that we're ministering back to this community and to this school who does so much for us. So on this day, that Sunday, October 28th, we won't be in here. We'll actually be doing a fall fest out in the parking lot out there. And we need lots of things to be done. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have bounce houses, hot dogs, cotton candy, all that stuff. And we're going to have it on sign-up lists at the back table. So after we end with response and on the way out, I'll just ask you now if you could just please stop by, maybe grab a flyer, sign up to, you know, pass them out in Ashland. I know many of us live in Ashland. We just want to make sure that we're ready for the event, and we're hopefully going to have more of the sign-up options up on our website as we come together, work as a team, again, to just, you know, invite more in, but also to honor the Ashland neighborhood who's done so much for us. So, now, here we go. Not a fan. 1 Corinthians 1, that's the text we're going to start with here today. And you should have it, again, in your worship guides. There's fill in the blanks if you want to. You should have pens there. If you need a sheet or a pen, will you just raise your hand, and we'll have someone, perhaps, bring them up to you, and that will be good to go. So the text that we're going to start with here is 1 Corinthians 1:18-30. And if you have it on your smartphone, your Bible, or whatever, I'm going to read along. I'm just going to read this passage, and then we're going to get into it. So 1 Corinthians 1:18-30. Sorry. The little subheading there is Christ crucified is God's power and wisdom. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. 22. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Weakness of God is stronger than the human strength. 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. There's a lot of things in that, which we're going to get into in the handout here. Jews and Greeks were kind of fighting over, you know, who really can be God's people there. And so what the importance of listing both Jews and Greeks is that the gospel message that was now anyone could be in God's family. It was just Jews. It was in the Old Testament, his people. And now once Christ died on the cross, he's crucified. He conquered death by his death, even as we sang about earlier. And so now it's for Jews and Greeks. And so now this is a big deal. And he's saying, you know, so it's not about Jew or being Greek or about having noble birth or about being intelligent or about being a rock star or about, you know, all these things. I paraphrased that. It wasn't in there. But that it's about him. It's about his power. We can't boast in our earning our own salvation. Yet again, another passage in Scripture that says, don't try to do all these good works to earn our way to heaven. It's about faith. None of us are worthy. None of us have this birth. It's only through him. It's only through the cross. So as we look here, point number one here in the handout, the upside-down truth of the cross is that when we are weak, we are strong. Okay? There's a lot of things in Scripture that kind of do that. It's like, well, that doesn't seem right. How can you be one or the other? But I think we understand. Him going to the cross, well, I mean, that was a huge weak deal, right? A huge sign of weakness. Yet we understand when we are weak, we are strong in him. Number two, the cross is foolishness to those who are walking in spiritual darkness. I'm going to read verse 18 again. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So those who are perishing, those who are not in Christ, and there may be many in your family, friends, that you're trying to preach the message of Christ. You're trying to, again, preach it by your lifestyle, preach it by living, all these things. And it's foolishness, right? If we're in that spiritual darkness when we're going through that, right, the cross is foolishness. They would say, why would we want to be weak? Why would we want to be humble, right? We wouldn't want these things. So certainly we understand that part of it. Number three, for those living in the first century, this is when this passage was written and what our study is based on today. For those living in the first century, the cross was the ultimate symbol of weakness and helplessness. And that was the worst way to die. And it was also a symbol of weakness because you're nailed, stuck up on that cross. It's the ultimate symbol. So anyone who in that culture say that is the weakest way, it's the worst way to die, it's also a symbol of weakness. So as I'm studying through, that's even something I never really grasped, that even the way Jesus died was that, again, not that he was weak, so please don't, misinterpret. He was probably he was a carpenter, hard work, probably a big dude, strong dude. I mean, there's a lot of other good stuff in there about, ultimate fighting Jesus or that kind of thing, as it's talked about in Revelation, which he is a stud, no doubt about, okay? But, what we're going to look at here is that him going to the cross, though, was the ultimate sign of weakness. And so, again, so back in the day, it's like, well, why would the King of Kings, be showed to be weak? Again, it helps us as believers that we need to, in order for us to get the strength in him, we have to be able to show that weakness, too. So that's what is important there. And again, we all understand symbols, right? So for them, people would see that, and he died on the cross, and we certainly still have crosses, and it is a good memory for us to have those symbols, but just seeing that for them was just weakness. So, four, that God chooses what has no intrinsic glory, strength, or honor, and turns it into the power of salvation. And that's us. We have no intrinsic glory, strength, or honor. Because it says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans, the whole Romans road. We all aren't worthy. And even he is able to, again, going to the cross, dying on the cross, took that no intrinsic value, it's a weak thing, whatever. And because he conquered, he turned it into the power of salvation. I'm even thinking of, Colette, you sharing about your friend, and it is tragic, and it is, we're going to pray, and it says that we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. But we do trust in Romans 8:28 that says all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Not that all things are good, so please don't. I'm not trying to be uncaring or whatever, but because he works miracles, because he's God, because he is the one who holds the power to life and death, he can turn things around, right? He can turn a bad thing, all things work together, and say, wow, we would have never known that. I can only speak from a, personal side. My cousin, when I was in college, she passed away from cancer, had four boys at the time, 8, 9, 10, and 13. And at that time, we're like, okay, God, what do you do? Whatever. It's just one of those things that we still don't understand. But the way the three of them are in ministry. One is a dentist. He was remarried to someone who also lost his spouse. Believers following after him. I don't know why God does what he does. None of us do because our mind is here, and God's mind is way, 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 way up above. And so it's amazing, and we're going to keep praying, and we do mourn, and I think you're a great friend, but it will be amazing to see what God will do, because God can do this. God can take things, and only he can turn them into stuff for his glory. So that would be point number four there. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. If you have your Bibles, again, or your smartphones or whatever, we can turn there. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. As we look at this point here, it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. We all understand victory, and we want victory in our own lives. Certainly, you know, and as we trust Christ, he's the one who can be the ultimate victor. But even seeing this, it's that in this way, again, we understand too, there's many times we went through a whole spiritual warfare series that we don't fight against flesh and blood, we fight against, you know, principalities, and you know, it's a spiritual war always going on. And by him conquering the cross, he disarmed the spiritual rulers. Okay, so that again should even give us more freedom and more that if we're following Christ, he has disarmed them by him conquering, by doing this, conquered, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Because spiritual world, the enemy, was excited Jesus was going to the cross. This is, yes, it's over, it's going to be death. And because he conquered and came back from the dead, because of the cross, that's where the victory is. That's how we can have that power. And if we trust, if we have that very same power for him. So we, you know, five here kind of goes with that. Number five, what seemed like the ultimate moment of God's weakness was in reality the ultimate moment of God's strength. If you're following along there, the two blanks are weakness and strength, point five. Again, they were excited. They're thinking, yes, Christ is, he, you know, the spiritual rulers, the enemy, but no, it seemed like the weakness. Going to the cross is a weak symbol, yet because of it, it showed his strength. Nope, I'm still running things. I'm still in charge. I'm still going to conquer. And there's just tons in the scriptures that God's economy is very different than ours. A lot of when you're weak, you're strong. And if you want to be first, you need to be last. And those who want, you know, there's a lot of that kind of backwards thing of the way the world runs, of cut everyone you can to get to the top, and it's all about me and all these things. In God's system, in his economy, it is very different. That weak things and being humble can show strength. And so, you know, we understand that going to the cross, that symbol of weakness, turned into the greatest moment of strength. A few things here, three of them, and who else but God could here in our notes. So we understand him going to the cross and doing all these things. We understand that who else but God could take a cross that represented defeat and turn it into a symbol of victory. Next one, who else but God could take a cross that represented death and turn it into a symbol of life. Okay? Who else but God could take a cross that represented condemnation and turn it into a symbol of freedom. And so what we want to make sure, if we're believers, if we're following Christ, the enemy will want to wear us out and wants us to focus on our life as defeat, death, condemnation. But if we're in Christ, it says we're a new creation. And so if we're in Christ, we need to be focusing on victory, life, and freedom if we've trusted him, if we follow him. We need to not get caught up in all those wrong thinking, right? And be focusing that in him we have that victory, life, and freedom. At this time, I'm going to run the clip that'll just, we'll do this, we'll watch this clip, kind of goes with it, and then I have a few more closing thoughts, and we'll continue in our worship. So,
sometimes in an effort to get as many people as possible to follow Jesus, I have, with good intentions, made following him sound as attractive, as appealing as possible. And so I've talked a lot about the unconditional joy, the peace that passes understanding, the grace and mercy that frees us from all of our guilt and shame. Those things are true and they are beautiful and they should be spoken of often. But I've realized that I have been guilty of selling Jesus, of emphasizing only the parts about Jesus that I thought people would like. Imagine it this way. Imagine if my oldest daughter grows up and goes to college, and after a number of years isn't married, but she really wants to be. And so I decide to help the process along. And I take out an ad in the newspaper, and I put up a billboard sign and print up t-shirts begging someone to come and choose her. Wouldn't that cheapen who she is? Wouldn't that make it seem like they were doing her a favor? I would never do that. If you want to come and get to know her, you better come with everything you've got, or I'll send you packing.
A lot in this study, too, about fan and follower. What I like is the whole idea of counting the cost. You know, that as we're seeking him, you know, are we actually understanding and, you know, living these things out, and understanding that it is hard. You know, the Christian life is a hard life, but it is certainly worth it as we look through Scripture. So it isn't all roses and, you know, all of those things. As we go through this, we need to understand, are we really fans, kind of cheering when it's convenient or whatever, or are we really followers? And if you've not been going through the booklet, it isn't too late. You can get one back at the back. It's a great study. If you've not come to one of the community groups yet, you can still come. You know, even though you've not been to the other weeks, and, you know, we've, you know, got them all during the week, and we'd love for you to come to them to just help us walk through this deal of being, you know, committed, not just being, you know, fair weather fans. So let me get to the action points here, understanding what we know. The action points here towards the end. It says, when we are weak in our own strength, we qualify to be strong in his strength. There is an aspect that we have to surrender and say, God, you can do this. Next one. True strength comes when we learn to depend on God's strength. And many of us say that we depend on him. And I've been challenged by this a lot, even during this study, is leaning on my own strength or my own skills or whatever. But no, we want to depend on him. If we're really following him and giving up who we are to follow him, then we need to understand that idea of, you know, a dependence. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. If you have your Bibles, we can flip there. We'll also have it up there on the screen. It says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the whole deal is, which we as American Christians many times don't understand, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that we suffer for Christ. There's a lot of other great organizations that we try to partner with here. IJM, International Justice Mission, being one of them. Compassion International, World Vision, you know, organizations that are making a difference for people who go through this all the time. But we can still understand that we need to be weak, and where we need that help, we shouldn't be depending on our own, because we're going to fail every time. We should be depending on him and understanding when we're weak, we are strong. The last action point there says, God takes followers, which is what we want to be, at their weakest moments and turns them into testimonies of victory and strength. Takes us at our weakest moment and turns them into testimonies of victory and strength. Revelation 12, 11 said, they triumphed or overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Again, many times we take testimonies in here. It says, we will overcome in life by the blood of the Lamb, which is he shed for us. We had to have that based on God's system, and the word of our testimony. Hearing from each other, being there for each other, sharing more. That's how we're going to overcome. We're going to overcome as followers, having those true testimonies. And so for all of us, it's just kind of that whole action deal of, Are we fans or are we followers? As we look at the cross, understanding weakness, understanding these things, have we been trying to do it on our own, right? Trying on our own strength, or have we realized and said, okay, God, in my weakness, all my things that are wrong, all the weakness, all the weak things I have, if we hand them over to him, focus on him, we can be strong. When we're weak, we are strong. And many of us, we just don't want to give in. We just don't want to give over. We keep praying about it, thinking about it, when really we understand that the power source is in him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what he shed for us on the cross. And we have the opportunity there, we just don't take it. So I'm going to close with just a real quick, short illustration, and then the team is going to come up. This is a power source, right? We understand the way power works. This is electricity, and here's a light. And if I've shown this before, I still think it's a powerful, very simple thing. So if we take that and we plug it in, right, it works, right? Plugged in. So what we do a lot of times in life, and trust me, I'm also very, very guilty of it. Okay, this is us. We want to shine in life. We want to be the best we can. And this is God, right? This is the power source. And everyone understands the way, look, I have to plug this in. It's not battery powered because batteries run out, right? In order for it to have to plug it in. But this is what we kind of do. God's right here, okay? We're right here. And if this is me in life and I'm kind of praying about, God, I really want to shine for you. And we start praying, well, God, let these things happen, or we kind of wait on him, or we kind of, do whatever, or, praying that, I could pray for this light to get plugged in, right? Now, God can do whatever he wants, right? God can do miracles, and he could actually physically take this up and, plug it in. But he also gives us common sense, and he gives us, that if I'm praying that this light were to be turned on, God, if in your infinite wisdom and power, he's probably going to say, hey, plug it in, right? Just take it, do a little bit of action here, and just plug it in, right? And so as we want to be followers, we keep praying about getting plugged into him, but we're that close when really many times it's just common sense. He's given us minds. We just need to plug into him. We just need to take that little action and say, I'm giving in. I'm actually going to give over and be a follower, not a fan. Let's go ahead and close. If you guys can bow your heads and close your eyes, we're going to enter a time of response. But just for a second, maybe you're out there and you say, you know what? I've heard all about God. I've been to church or heard about it or whatever, but I know I'm not a follower. I've never given my life over, and I don't have a relationship with Jesus. So if you want to do that, again, there's no magic words. It's all through Scripture. It's a condition of our heart, and it's a condition of faith. It's just as simple as sometimes just plugging in, saying, Jesus, I believe in you. You maybe even feel the Holy Spirit working, and you know that you need to do this. Just say, Jesus, I believe. I believe in you. I want you to come into my life. I want you to take away my sins. Please forgive them. And Jesus, I want a relationship with you. And if you need to do that, even as I talk about other things right now, you can just do that. Just start praying. There's no magic words. Silently, write to him. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Maybe you're out there and you've already done that, but you've really not been plugging. Kind of like the whole plug thing, that you know him, you're right next to him, but you've not been taking that step of really being a follower and taking action with your relationship by reading the scriptures, by praying, by being with other believers, learning. And maybe you need to say, Jesus, I want to recommit to being a follower. You may be out there and you need other decisions, maybe to be baptized. Maybe you've never been baptized. Or maybe you need to give a certain area of your life. All of that is fine for you to silently pray to him right now. So I want it quiet just for a few seconds. If you need to trust him for the first time, if you need to have something special, baptism, recommit an area just to give over to him that you've been weak in for him to be strong in. Just go ahead and pray quietly right now where he's here. Thank you for your power working. Thank you that when we're weak, we are made strong. Jesus, those who have just made decisions right now, thank you for them. Thank you that you still change lives. You giving us salvation is a miracle still. I thank you for that. Thank you for those who just got things straight with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to enter our time of us responding now. We've actually designed the service. Nathan and Andrew, you know, they do a lot of, you know, planning and wanting this to be a, you know, true worship time. We on purpose did two songs first, and we're doing three now just to kind of give more of a response time. You know, if that's a decision that you just prayed, kind of I was talking about, and you want to share that with someone, I'm going to be up front here as well. We've got some of the prayer teams in the back if you want to go share that with them. Also in your seats, we have our connection cards. If you made a decision, we'd love to find out about that as well. As we're singing and worshiping, if you have a prayer need that you need to give over, that you want prayed over, again, we've got our new prayer group started. We have a prayer team that's faithful. Write that on that card and just, you know, kind of, you know, hand it in the back at the end. If there's a decision, area of prayer. We also will have our communion stations open. Scripture, it's clear. It says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Maybe if you come a lot and you've been here, maybe you want to take the elements, take them back to your seat, maybe spend a little bit more time praying over them. Again, I don't want to dictate. I'm just saying this is an open time for us to respond, okay? For us to worship. So all those things are open, the cards, the teams. You can stand, you can kneel, come forward. All of that's open. We want to have freedom here as we respond in our worship this morning.